Good morning. I'm kind of lost for words this morning. It's been one of those weeks where just kind of a lot going on. And Nick, I was actually supposed to preach, scheduled to preach next week. And we know that Nick lost his grandma this week, and he was preaching her sermon or her funeral and needed to prepare for that. And I told him, yes, I'm more than happy to switch with you. And of course, then Glenda passed away this week. For those that knew Glenda and Rick and what they meant to this church, and I filled in yesterday and did that service, and then we got news about my mother-in-law this week. So it's been just one of those weeks where it just kind of keeps coming, you know. And so really the scripture I picked out this morning, it just kind of spoke to me, and I'm going to be in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to read it all in one. I'm going to read and stop, but it's just one of those things that is kind of was drawn to it this week and read it multiple times and over again. And there again, just that reassurance of where my faith is at. And that last song that the worship team sang, you know, Jesus saves. You know, how often do we need to hear that on a daily basis? Just the things that we go through, the things that we hear, the news that we get. You know, we all have struggles, the daily struggles, but then we just have those weeks, there's just that extra, and we need to hear that Jesus saves. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that we put our faith in. Jesus is the one that we look to when things get hard and realize that there's nothing better. And hopefully we'll see that through some of these verses in chapter 8. So let me pray, and then we'll start. Dear Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. And Lord, that we don't have to worry about our sins. Lord, that they are covered with his blood. But Lord, that you've asked us to live and live for you and to serve you. But Lord, that you are in charge. Lord, that you have a plan, that you are an almighty God, that you are a Lord and Master. And Lord, I thank you for that in my own life. And Lord, just pray that as we look at these verses today, just be evident through those verses. And Lord, I just thank you once again for your Son Jesus and what he did on the cross. And I pray all these things in his name. Amen. So as I kind of started out there, you know, I don't really have a sermon title. This sermon is probably more for me, so I'm just going to let you kind of live in my life, my world for a little bit this morning and just follow along, I guess, more than anything. So chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. Because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So right off here, you know, Paul has been talking to the church at Rome, and, you know, these are believers, and he's trying to encourage them. You know, he didn't ever really get a chance to visit these believers, but he always wanted to because he was a Roman citizen himself through his parents. But he said there's no condemnation, you know, exists. You know, we worry about our sin. We still sin. You know, even as believers, we still struggle with sin. And it burdens us. But here we have this encouragement. But because of Christ, that condemnation doesn't have to be there. We're free from that law that was set before us that God put in place to help us realize that we were sinners. We're not free from the law, but it's still there to help us realize we're sinners. But as we see here in a second, we're set free from that sin and death that it causes. Verse 3, what the law could not do, which was free us from that law could not save us from our sins, was limited by the flesh. God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in flesh like ours under sin's domain and as a sin offering. So, like I said, sin couldn't save us. Jesus can. Like the song said, Jesus saves, not the law. But we still need the law to realize how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves as believers. We still need those examples set before us. But it doesn't save us. The law failed because of flesh, because of us, because it was there to change our hearts. But it didn't do that. The Israelites took that law and used it as a legal document and used it to check those boxes off. Yep, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. But they were still screwing up. They still didn't have a change of heart. And that's what God wanted. He didn't want the sacrifices. He didn't want the burnt offerings. He wanted their heart. And He wants that today with us as well. He wants our heart. He doesn't want us just to show up and listen to a sermon and go home. He wants our heart. You know, and as this week, you know, as there's been just a lot of bad news, it seems like, we have to ask, where is our heart? Where is our heart, especially when we think about death? That final, you know, that final end. And as I've told many that have asked me, you know, Glenda's funeral was an easy one to preach because she was a believer. You know, that is one that you knew where she stood. You knew who she was. You knew how she lived her life. So there was no question in what you were going to preach at that funeral. You were going to preach the gospel because that's what she would want. That was an easy funeral to preach. But there's those that are still living in that flesh. They're still holding on to that sin. They're limiting what the law can do or limiting what God can do. But God broke free of that and condemned the flesh and sent His Son. Verse 4, in order that the law's requirement could be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those whose lives are according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those whose lives are according to the Spirit, about the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. So when we get caught up in everyday life, when we're not a believer, we get caught up in those things that just going to lead us to more trouble. We get caught up in those things that just leads to more confusion and more chaos. When we're worried about God's things, when we're worried about working for God and sharing our lives with other people, it leads to life and peace. Not that we don't have troubles, not that we don't have chaos sometimes, but we realize that God is in control of that and is there to help us. Verse 7, for the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. So if we're living for worldly things, if we're living for ourselves, there's no way that we can say that we can submit ourselves to God because He wants everything that we have. Our mind, our heart, our body. We're to be a slave to Him. We're to submit ourselves to who He is and what He wants us to be. But if we're living for the flesh, if we're living for ourselves, we're living under God's law. The law that takes us back to death. But if we're living for the Spirit, like I said in 6, verse 6, it's peace and life. Life and peace. Verse 8, those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if any one of you does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If you're here today and you have troubles, can you answer that question? Do I have God's Spirit? Am I living my life submitted to God? Or am I living it for myself? Am I living it for those things that I want? Am I living it for the things that I think that I need, that are best for me? Or am I living it for what God wants me to do? Can we answer that question? Is God with us? If you can't say yes to that question, you need to ask questions this morning. You need to ask someone and pray and see where you're at. And maybe it's just a matter of getting back into God's Word and realizing, hey, I just need to shift my focus away from those troubles that I'm having, away from those things that are causing me problems, and back to my Savior. And maybe you just need to turn to your Savior. You've never done that before. Verse 10, now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The only reason that we can say that and that Paul can say that because of that righteousness is because of Christ in us and because Christ died on the cross. Verse 11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. So it kind of goes along as we talk about life and death, and we think about a physical death, that one day that we will be resurrected as believers. We will have that, our mortal bodies, bring our mortal bodies to life through his spirit. We're going to die a physical death. We all are going to do that. But what happens after that is what is the important part here. His spirit who lives in us will keep those mortal bodies. We'll keep our spirits alive. Verse 12, so then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So often we get scared when we hear that word death. And really the Bible talks in many different places, you know, there's a physical death and then there's a spiritual death. And that separation from God is a spiritual death that we have when we don't accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we will realize how important that was when we go through our physical death. But when we do accept him, we become heirs. We become sons. We become children of God. And how great that is to have a Father that loves us so much that we cry out to him. We cry out to our Father to help us realize, even in those hard times, he's there listening to us. He's there wanting to help us. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs of God who and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. So if we're going to be co-heirs with Christ, if we're going to be children of God's and co-heirs of Christ of heaven, we're going to have to suffer some. Some of this is physical suffering, but some of it is persecution. Some of it is we're going to have to stand up for what is right. And I think this morning in family groups and part of the lesson that we got to, and one of the voices of the church history kind of said it just right, and I didn't write it down, but basically, you know, those people, the prophets that the Bible talks about in Chronicles and in other places, they had to stand up against the political powers. They had to stand up against the popular opinion of that time. And are we willing to do that as believers today? Because if we want change, it's not going to come from an election. It's not going to come from political powers. It's not going to come from leaders. It's going to come from the church. It has to come from the church if we want true change that will last. And that's going to take some suffering, because you will have to say what truth is and what it isn't. But also, when we suffer with Christ and we suffer through things for the sake of Christ, we also are glorified with him. Verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is coming to be revealed to us. So we are going to go through some hard times, but it's nothing compared to the glory that we will find in heaven once we get there. For the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of God's children. So every week, you know, Nick talks about God made this world perfect. You know, we had a perfect world, the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve walked with God and talked with God, and everything was right. And then sin came into this world. And it not only ruined it for us, but it ruined it for everything. And like the verses say here, you know, the it's that even those groanings, the creation eagerly awaits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed, because it wants to go back to where it was at. We're waiting for that Savior. We need that Savior, that rescuer. Verse 22, for we knew that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now in this hope we were saved, yet hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. How often are we caught in today's world not knowing what to pray for, because we look around and there's so many things to pray for. Where do we start at? We turn the news on and there's so many bad things, or we see our neighbors in pain, we see our family members in pain. We don't know what to pray for, but we have the Spirit that intercedes for us, that helps us pray. Maybe our own lives are so messed up with sin, we don't know what to pray for. Maybe we need God, but we don't know what to say. Maybe we're so ashamed of what we've done, but we need somebody to step in for us. And some of this is the Spirit, but also we have other believers around us that are willing to step up and pray for us if we just ask for that prayer, but we have the Spirit there constantly interceding for us. Verse 27, and he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those who foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Verse 31, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So when we go into our daily lives and we have those weeks where things don't go right, we should look at a verse like this and say, nothing can be against us. We have everything that we need. Maybe we have people at work that give us problems because of our faith. Maybe we have people in our families that give us problems because of our faith. What can be against us if God is for us? He did not even spare his own Son, but offered him up for us. All for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? So if we ask him and pray to him, he's willing to give us what we need. Who can bring accusations against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Again, we can listen to the news. We can listen to all kinds of things that talk about how Christianity is bad and how we're doing the wrong thing and how we're closed-minded and we're not educated, whatever. But those accusations don't matter, because God justifies us. If we're following who God is, if we're living our lives for God, that's all that matters. God justifies us. Who is the one who condemns? Christ is the one who died, but even more, who's been raised. He also is the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because you are being put to death all day long, we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. We don't even face half this kind of persecution, and yet we groan and we moan about the things that we have in our lives, and so many times it's by our own doing. But even the stuff that we do ourselves, if we're followers of Christ, if we're followers of God, what can separate us? Is he going to punish us? We found that out today in family groups as well. Will he punish those that are believers that won't turn around and follow him? Yes. There are consequences to our sins. But we're not separated from him because of Christ. That's the great thing about us and versus what we learned about in family groups, you know, the Old Testament. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have Christ. And as we ended with class, and we really didn't get to get into that point, but the temple was destroyed. It was gone. Those people were carried off into exile, and you know, their thought was, well, God is not with us anymore. But we can say with confidence as believers, if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that he is with us, and there's nothing that can separate us. No persecution, no famine, no danger of sword, no danger of death can separate us from who we are and what we have in Christ. Verse 37, knowing all things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can separate us. Even on our darkest day, if we're a believer, we should look to Christ for our help. We should pray, not knowing what to pray, realizing Christ is there to intercede for us. We have victory because of who we serve, not because of who we are. We should hold on to that. And there again, we all have those weeks. We all have those days. But where is our faith? Who is our faith in? What do we hold on to when we hit those patches? So many times the world tells us to have faith in yourself, that you can work hard enough, that you can just do the right things and people will forgive you, or that you can just cover it up and it'll go away. But truly, it has nothing to do with that. We have to have faith in Christ and Christ alone, that he died on the cross for each and every one of us, that God gave his only son because we screwed up, that we had nothing to deserve what Christ went through, but he did that because he loved us. So as we think of our lives today, and we all have troubles, we all have screw-ups, where is your faith this morning? If you're here this morning and you're struggling with whatever, I'd urge you, grab somebody and ask for prayer. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've never made that commitment. Maybe you feel that tugging on your heart this morning that you need prayer. You don't know what to say. Just grab somebody and say, I need prayer. That's all you got to do. That's a start. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need to take that first step and say, I need to commit my life to God. I know that I've been called and that I've just been fighting that for various reasons that don't make sense. But I need God in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a believer and you've had struggles. Maybe those dark days are right upon you, and you know, maybe it was death in a family, maybe it's struggles at work, maybe it's struggles at home. Grab somebody and ask for prayer. Don't leave today thinking that you're fighting this battle by yourself. You have the Holy Spirit. You have your church family. Whatever it might be, don't leave here today. Here in a second, after I pray, we'll have a time of invitation, and Nick will speak a little more to that once I'm done praying. But this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to ask for that help. This is your opportunity to reach out and let God show his love to you. Don't pass it up. And like I said earlier, that, you know, it's just one of those things that I needed to hear these verses probably this week more than anything, just because of the things going on that I need to hear that it'll be okay. That God is there. God is working, and God will always be working, and God will always love us. So when the praise team comes forward, as Nick talks, and as after I pray, if God's calling you this morning, don't fight it. Don't hold back. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for what you've done for each and every one of us. We thank you that you are such a great and mighty God, that you knew way before we were ever born that we would have struggles, that we would have a day, that we would need you, that we would need to fall on our knees and ask you to come into our lives and save us. Lord, we thank you that you had that knowledge even before we were born, that we would need your Son to be our Savior, that we would need him to die a horrible death because of our mistakes, and that we'd have to humble ourselves and accept that we can't do it on our own. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you've put us in a church family that loves us, that wants to love on us, that wants to comfort us and share with us and pray with us and strengthen us. And Lord, how important that is to have when we have those weeks, when we have those days, that we can turn to those that are around us and say, I need help. I need prayer. Lord, I pray if there's people here today that need that, that they wouldn't let anything hold them back, that they would realize that it's you calling them, that they feel that ache, they feel that need, and it's nothing else other than you calling them. Lord, I just thank you so much for who you are, and we pray all these things in your Son Jesus' holy name. Amen.